But let us remember, it was never meant to replace or be a substitute for coming together in an actual personal way. I did not worship today. I did not go to worship today. I worship online. I made the statement last week. Let me say a little more, that man needs worship. Man needs worship. That is based on the way we were constituted, the way we were made by God. We are a triune person, every one of us. There is the physical man, body. There is what the Bible speaks about, the spirit. And there is the soul. Somebody read 1 Thessalonians for me. Chapter 5, verse 23. Let us hear it.
And the very God of peace.
And the very God of peace.
Sanctify you wholly.
Set you apart wholly.
And I pray.
And I pray.
God, your whole spirit.
That your whole
spirit.
Spirit.
And soul.
And soul.
And body.
And body.
Be preserved.
Be preserved. That is your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved. So here is a passage telling us that there are at least three parts to us. Eh? There is a spirit. This is our God-like part. When the Almighty God at creation talks about, let us make man in our image, it was not speaking about a physical image. What was being addressed there is that God gave man a part of himself. That's the spirit. And we'll be talking about a lot about that today. Then there is the soul. This, in a sense, is what we have with the lower animal. Now, the word soul is used having about three or four different meanings in the Bible. When the Bible tells us that man was made a living soul, it is using the word soul referring to the totality of man. But man has a soul and man has a physical body. Let us further enlighten ourselves quick. Let us turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 52. Notice this now. And this is in reference to the development and the growth of Jesus Christ. Let us hear it. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, I think.
And Jesus increased in wisdom.
And Jesus Christ increased or grew
in wisdom.
Or developed.
In wisdom.
In wisdom. Wait. That is the mind. That is the intellect. In wisdom.
And stature.
In stature.
And in favor.
Take time with me, brother. Stature, that is the physical man.
And in favor with God and man.
Take time with me, I tell you. And in favor with God. Favor with God, that's the spiritual man.
And man.
And favor with man, that is the social man. Now watch here. Now this is the development of Jesus Christ. He grew in wisdom. That is intellectual development of Christ. He grew in stature. That is the physical development of Christ. He grew in favor with God. That's the spiritual growth or development of Christ. He grew in favor with man. That's the social progress or development of Christ. Watch here now. Did I start by saying that man needs worship? Yes. You see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you see this spiritual part of man? That is the God-like part given to us by God at creation. Every human being, it matters not how wicked or ungodly that man or woman is, he has a part of God in him. Every one of us. May I? That man needs worship, this comes from the presence and the influence of the religious or spiritual or the devotional nature in man. In every man and in every woman, there is something in us that is devotional. There is that spiritual part in us that yearn to give devotion to some higher being. We are so made, we are so constituted that instinctively, man, I said instinctively, we long for God, we long for devotion, we long for worship. Because of the way the great God made us, instinctively, we want to worship. In a little while, I'm going to show how this desire for God, this wanting to keep that attachment with our Creator. Watch here, watch here. The Bible says that we are the offspring. Your Bible doesn't have that, no? We are the offspring of God. The word offspring used there in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 17, and is it verse 17? Couldn't be. Let me hear it. It's Acts 17 anyway. It says we are the offspring of God. The word offspring can also be translated race. We are the offspring of the Almighty God. Let us hear Acts 17:29, I think. Let us hear it.
For as much then.
As much then.
As we are the offspring of God.
Wait. I am the offspring of Samuel Mitchell. That's my father. In fact, I am the offspring of Rhoda Mitchell. That's my grandmother. It means that genetically, biologically, I have something physically that belongs to them. When the Bible says that we are the offspring of God, we have something that belongs to God. That's the spiritual part of man. That's it. It is that part of God in us that long wants to worship, that wants to give devotion. Did I say that in a little while I'm going to show how that can be misdirected? What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? That desire for worship, that want to worship, sometimes take a wrong turn. It is directed in idolatry. That man needs worship does not mean it is always given to God. That's the person to whom it should be given. But it's not always directed to God. In fact, may I? Let me continue. A good example of this deep need For God, that is that deep need for a supreme being and the need to give worship, to pay homage, is shown in the book of Judges. It is chapter 18, verse 24. Let us have it. Judges, chapter 18, verse 24. Listen as the brother reads.
And he said,
He
have taken away my gods.
Wait. Take time with my brother. Take time with me. That man God must be a small God for you to be able to take him away. Read that again, Brother Wilson.
And he said, ye have taken away my gods.
That's plural?
Plural.
Okay, not many. Yes. You have taken away my gods. But that is important, but that's not the main reason I bring you to this passage. Read on.
Which I made.
Which? Who made?
I made.
Which I made. You have taken away my God, which I made.
And the priests, and ye are gone away.
And you have taken also my priests.
And what I have more. And what is this that ye say unto me? What aileth thee?
What the man is saying? Wait. You have taken away my God. That's idol. You have taken my priest. What else do I have? Do you get it? Hear this man who is an idolater, worship idol, felt the longing so much for God that when he turned to idolatry and the God he made was taken away, he implied as if he had nothing left. And that tells you the deep longing in us to have a supreme being in our life. When the Almighty God put us together, constitute us, he made us with a part of us coming from him. It is that God-like part, that spiritual part that longs for worship. It's going to be given to God to whom it belongs, or it's going to be given to idol or material things. But it's there. Every man needs worship. God made you like that, that you may decide to give it to some social clubs, service clubs, Kiwanis and whatever, because you want to feel fulfilled. But they cannot take God's place. A lot of men and women devote themselves completely to these social or service clubs and whatever, not realizing that they can never take the place of true worship that we were meant to give to the Almighty God. The human body, the way God made us, the physical person. The Almighty God made us that we need physical exercise. We need athletic activity, every person. You do not have to go to a gym. Just the daily activity that you engage in or I engage in is good for us. You don't believe me? Just sit down one place for one whole day at your yard. Just sit down. Don't move any limbs. And you'll see at the end of that day how you feel. You think you're going to feel rested? No. You're going to feel the need for the joint to move. That's right. That's the way God made us. The body, the physical man, needs physical or athletic activity. And when it doesn't get it, the body does not function as effectively as it should. That's one. Two, the intellectual man. God, increasing wisdom, that's the mind. The intellectual man, the intellectual part of us, need stimulation. We are so made that we need to absorb information, truth, knowledge. And the Almighty God has so made the mind that the mind discriminates, sifts them, and picks out what is what. If the mind does not get that information, our mind becomes dull. Truly. Wait. You don't have to go to a classroom for that. We are learning things every day. That's right. Every day we are learning things. That's the way God made the mind. That it absorbs information, truth, knowledge. When the mind stops doing that, it becomes dull, inefficient, and ineffective. It must acquire knowledge in one form or the other. Truth. It must learn to discriminate information. It must discern. As I said, else it sinks into feebleness. Well, wait, I talk about the body that need physical athletic exercise. I talk about the mind that need to absorb truth, information daily in one form or the other. Watch, you know. The soul or the spiritual man needs worship. That's right. So for us to be a well-rounded person, we need to make sure that all the vital parts of us, the body, the mind, and the soul, is being given what it was made, created to feed on. Are we all there? Look here now. When the Bible speaks about man being the offspring of God, it is that being God's offspring that makes worship so essential, so necessary in our lives. Now, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Let us hold that passage. Romans chapter 1. Remember, we have read in the book of Judges about Micah when he accused other Israelites for taking away his God and his priest. And in a statement he made, he said, like, what have I left? It's like, when you take away my object of devotion, I do not have anything left. That's right. in the book of Judges, in Micah's case, that was a cry of the spiritual man. But in Micah's case, it was misdirected. Wherever you and I read about idol or idolatry, it is telling us that that man or woman or that group of men and women recognize the need for a supreme being in their lives, but in their case, they have misdirected that cry of the soul. They have turned that devotional nature in a wrong direction. Because we are God, our spring, and we were made to seek God. Acts of the Apostles 17:27. Quick. Acts of the Apostles 17:27.
That they should seek the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If haply they might feel after him.
Wait. If you read the context, but we won't go in the context. That is one or two verses above. You will notice that what the passage is saying, that the Almighty God made us. And he so constituted us, put us together, that we were made to see God. Are we all there? Didn't you read something about that they may seek him there? Verse 27.
That they should seek the Lord.
That they should seek God. Every man was made to seek God. Huh? You see, God gave us the basic raw material. Are we all there? God gave us so many things here that tell us that there is a higher being. And God expects us to take it from there. Huh? I have always been fascinated how the Almighty God gave us hunger. We have, out of that hunger, we produce roast beef, jerk chicken, curry chicken, brown stew thick chicken. All that come from one thing God give us, you know, hunger. The Almighty God gives us exhaustion, tiredness. And we take it from there. We have single bed. We have double bed. We have queen size bed. We have king size bed. Wait. What did God do? Just tired. And from that tiredness that he gives us when the body is exhausted, we come up with all the many type of beds. Well, the Almighty God, through natural creation, tell us that there is a God. In the same way, he gives us only hunger, and we can produce roast beef, jerk chicken, jerk pork, He gives us only tired, and we can produce single bed, double bed, queen size bed, king size bed. That God gives us a knowledge of himself, God expects us to take it from there and seek him. But you know what? We have misdirected the spiritual longing in us. Look at the passage of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18 following. Let us have it.
For Romans. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven.
Start again.
For the wrath of God.
The wrath, that is the outpouring of God's vexation
is revealed
from heaven
against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
Watch here now, read.
Who hold the truth in unrighteousness?
Wait, take time with me there, brother. Who hold God's truth in unrighteousness? What that is implying is that it's not that man does know better. It's not that man is totally ignorant of God. The Almighty God makes sure that we have an awareness of Him. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show it His hand the work. Can we go over that? The heavens declare, that is, the heavens made a statement about the glory of God, about the characteristic of God. The firmament show His handiwork. As you look at what God has created, it tells you that there is a God. So back to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Quick.
For the wrath of God is
revealed. The wrath of God
is revealed from heaven.
Is revealed from heaven
against all ungodliness
and unrighteousness of man who hold
the truth in unrighteousness.
When men and women turn to idolatry, when we make the physical blessings of life that God gave us, when we make that our God, when we are so committed to the physical things of life that we forget God, we forget the church and worship, then something is wrong. This passage is addressing that. They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Read on a little more.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
Yeah, everybody hear that? Whatever you want to know about God, God manifested. If you want to know that there is a God, God made sure that by His works, you can know that there is a supreme being. Read on.
For God has showed it unto them.
Uh-huh.
For the invisible things of Him.
The invisible thing of the Almighty God.
From the creation of the world. Are clearly seen.
By?
Being understood by the things that are made.
Wait. You get God logic here. And God's logic is logical. The invisible thing of God. The things of God that you don't see. God makes sure He manifests them by the things which He has created. So we are without excuse. Read a little further.
Being understood by the things that are made, mm-hmm. even His eternal power
mm-hmm.
and Godhead,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
that they are without excuse.
They are without excuse. Read on.
Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God.
They did not glorify Him as God, even though God has made His existence known by His creation, the physical creation. Men still turn to idols of different sort. Read on.
Neither were they thankful. But became vain in their imagination.
Watch here now. They became vain in their imagination. You see, brother, wait. When men and women permit their imagination to lead them in the wrong direction, and we talk about suppose them not know better. God has manifested Himself. Read, brother.
And their foolish heart was darkened.
Uh-huh.
Professing themselves to be wise.
Uh-huh.
They became fools.
Uh-huh.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God
into
an image made like to corruptible man.
Mm-hmm. That is referring to the idols that they make. What God is saying here, they know better. God made sure that they know better. But the knowledge of God that He Himself revealed, they have misdirected that knowledge. And even for us Christians, we must be careful. The In so many cases, we let secular things, social things, worldly things lead us away from Christ. And a lot of times it does not make us cut off, but we slightly hold on to the church and little Christianity, but we grab up the word. We have to watch that. Read, brother.
And four-footed beasts,
uh-huh,
and creeping things.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore,
uh-huh,
God also gave them up to
God
uncleanness.
God gave them up to uncleanness.
Through the lust of their own hearts.
Uh-huh.
To dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
Find me the verse. It's right close by there where they worship the creature.
Who change the truth of God into a lie and
they
worship.
They change God's truth into a lie.
And worship and serve the creature more than the creator.
Everybody gets that? That is when the God-like quality in man, the spiritual person, the devotional person that God made us with, when we misdirect it, when we direct that longing for God, when we direct it in the wrong direction, we find that we give worship, reverence, adoration to the creature rather than to God. So this is why, in fact, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there has never been any tribe found anywhere that did not have some form of deity. Brother Mitchell, I don't get. There has never been found a tribe anywhere on earth that did not give devotion to some form of higher being. You know what that says to me? That devotional nature, that longing for God is placed in every human being. But the passage we have just read in Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 explain why men give devotion to the creature, that is that which is created, rather than to the creator, is where the longing for worship, for devotion, to honor their creator, is instead of being directed to God, it's directed to idols. Man needs devotion. Are we all there? Look at Psalms 84 verse 2. Psalms 84, verse 2.
My soul longeth, yea.
Stop there a while, brother. You see, we have just read in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18 following, where that devotional nature, that God-like nature in every man, where it is misdirected and produce idolatry, worshiping idol. Now, here is where that longing for God is directed in the right direction. Let us hear it again.
My soul longeth.
My soul longeth.
Yea.
Yea.
Even fainteth.
Even fainteth.
For the courts of the Lord.
For the courts of the Lord. I long to worship. I want to worship. I am hunger for worship. Worship not of idol, but of the Almighty God. Because man needs worship. You know, I'm going to end the lesson right here, because the greater portion of the lesson for today have not yet even been touched, but I needed to explain why we find tribes and people who worship idol. It's not so much because they did not know better. It's because their devotional nature, their godlike quality, was directed in the wrong direction. And God hold them responsible according to the book of Romans. But watch here. When we read in the book of Acts, chapter 17, and verse 20, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17, brother. Verse 16 and verse 23. We are going to end here. Acts 17.
No, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
23. Also,
for as I pass by,
Paul is reporting what he sees. As I pass by
and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God.
The Athenians want to make sure they don't leave out any of the God. So they had an inscription: to the unknown God.
Whom he, therefore ye ignorantly worship.
May I? One of Paul's contemporaries, Petronius, satirically, he was in effect criticizing by what he said. He said, it was easier to find a god than to find a man in Athens. That's how many gods they have. One of the writers of that time, Petronius, said it was easier to find a god than to find a man in Athens. Xenophon, another prominent contemporary and writer, said he called Athens one great altar to the gods. The whole city of Athens was one great altar to the gods. That's how idolatrous the city was. But brothers and sisters, it's not because God did not reveal himself to them. It's because the godlikeness in them was turned into the other direction. As Christians, let us make sure that our spiritual self, that part that we have from the Almighty God, let us make sure that it is properly fed spiritually. Let us make sure that it is not never ever get so involved in worshiping, paying homage to the wrong thing, that step by step we become idol worshiper and don't realize it. Man needs worship. The Almighty God made us like that, that because we are his offspring, there's something in us that long to keep that ties with our Creator active and worship, true worship, worshiping according to God's word, not looking for anything to become substitute or a replacement for worship. We need that. We need that. Thank you for listening. We hope to engage ourselves with the rest of this lesson, where we want to look on some of the terms when the Bible says, when you come together in one place, in one passage, within the space of a few verses, five times the apostle speak about coming together. Please don't drop the word virtual there. Because Paul did not have virtual in mind. God did not have that in mind. But when we take up that lesson sometime in the near future, then there are much to learn from it. If you are here today, if you have never been a child of God, the Bible says, watch it. I didn't say if you have never been a member of some church. I said if you have never been a child of God, God's way, you can step forward today believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is your Lord, is your Savior. You can step forward repenting, whereby you believe to the extent that you want to give up your way of life and accept Jesus's. But you are not a Christian when you repent. When you repent, you must move on to a willingness to confess Christ's name. You are not ashamed of it. And having confessed Christ's name, you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. Jesus Christ, in love, in grace, in mercy, is beckoning to you, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can step forward within a few seconds or minutes. We are going to stand to sing a song. You can step forward to give Christ your life. And if you are backslidden, if you have been a child of God but you are strayed, what better time than now to come and make a recommitment to Christ? As we stand, Jesus Christ in love, in grace, in mercy says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are ever laden, and I will give you rest. As we stand.